today I want to talk to you about the spirit world that surrounds us. Spirits, angels, demons, Satan are just as real as you and I. The Bible clearly teaches that there are angels, that there are demons. In fact, the Bible mentions angels 260 times in the Bible. So to question the existence of angels, you would have to question really the authority of the Bible. I want you to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. Just real quickly, I want to try to prove to you that the Bible teaches that there are angels, that there are spirit beings among us. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, or before Jehovah, and Satan came also among them. So in this verse it says that God was on the throne, that the sons of God, and I'm going to say to you that is angels and demons, came before God to present themselves before him. Turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, I want to read verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Now this is God talking to Job. Job had kind of been questioning. His faith was a little shaken. And God says, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the world?" He says, "Declare if thou hast understanding." Do you understand how I did it? Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So God says, "You know what, Job? When I created the world, where were you? Who are you to question me, Job?" He's saying to Job, "Who are you to question me? Before you even existed, I laid the foundations of the world, and the sons of God, the morning stars, the angels, shouted for joy." I'd like for you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. I'm just trying to make a point that there are angels, there are demons, there are spirit beings among us. Verse 19, chapter 22 of Kings. It says, "And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." So here we have a picture of the throne of God, and the host of heaven would be all the angels. As you and I live this life, you want to know the playing field. If I'm going to walk through this world for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, I don't know who's here. And we have each other. We know, obviously, we know there's people in Russia and Europe and Africa and different places. We know all that. But there are other beings who are angels and demons and Satan that are on the face of this earth. And they play a critical role, a very important role in our life here. Someone said at the end of the last days, before Christ comes, we know that the demonic activity is going to increase. And there's going to be more and more activity with Satan and with demons. And he said this. He said that at the end times, that there will be many, many people very strongly religious. Strongly religious. But utterly godless. I think there's a good example we have today. The terrorist activity in Iraq and Afghanistan around the world. There's a great picture of people very strongly religious, but utterly godless. What a picture of demonic activity are these terrorists. They do not care who they kill. They don't care man, woman, child. They don't care American, European, Iraqi. They kill their own. And that is such a good picture of Satan. Satan and the demons, their job, their purpose, annoy people and harm them, hurt them. They want to take the life of people. They are not only haters of Christ, they're hater of Christ's creation, they're hater of people. So the world exists, the spirit world around us. Number one, angels. Do you remember in the Bible when Hagar had been thrown out of her home? Abraham, Sarah said, "Get Hagar out of here." Abraham says, "You have to leave, take your son Ishmael." And she walked out into the wilderness, and she was near collapsing because of lack of water and food. And the Bible says, and the angel appeared and showed her a fountain of water. Remember reading in the Bible in the New Testament when Peter was in prison, And he said they put him in the prison, and the angel came up and opened the doors of the prison, and Peter walked out of the prison. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days? He fasted for 40 days, and he was weak, and Satan was tempting him. And the Bible says the angels came and fed Jesus. I'm just saying there are angels in this world, and they are just as active today as they were during Christ's time. There are angels in the world. I can't say to you that there is one specific angel that is your angel. I don't know that. But I know that I very strongly believe that God has angels and angel or angels, that their responsibility is you. Yeah, I think this is so interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, one day at the judgment, God says, I'll remove all the darkness. I will allow you to see everything that happened in your life. And I'll remove all the darkness. You'll get to see the angelic activity in your life. You'll get to see the demonic activity in your life. You're going to see God's plan for your life. You're going to see what Satan tried to do in your life. You'll get to see it all. And then one of the most amazing statements in the Bible, it says, and then when you see everything, every good thing, every bad thing, everything that you see, everything that took place in your life, when you see it all, it says that everyone, all people, will give praise to God. That's a big statement. So there is an angelic world around us that is present among us. The Bible says this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says that the angels are looking at him. They're watching him. In Corinthians 11, it says that the angels attend church. It says the angels come here and watch church. I think we can say scripturally, without any question, that there are angels here today in this service watching. In Corinthians 11, it gives a warning for the women to have the proper appearance so the angels are not offended or discouraged. Isn't that something? Angels are watching. Now, to say there's demons here, I can't say that. I would say it's a probability. Demons are going to be where God is at work. Where God's at work, they're going to try and come and try to destroy it. False churches or churches that quit preaching the gospel, demons don't need to be there. God's already left. But if we're preaching the gospel here, preaching Jesus Christ, then there's going to be spiritual warfare. So I would expect that demon activity could be here today. But the Bible says that Satan sends tares. He sends false believers into a congregation. He'll wait, and he'll try to destroy and try to disrupt that type of thing. But let's just talk about angels just for a minute. They guide us. Philip was in the middle of a revival in Samaria, and the angels came down and took him out of Samaria and took him on the road, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Cornelius was crying out to God that he wanted to meet God. He wanted to know Christ. The Bible says that the angels led Cornelius to Jesus. The Bible says that they are a helper. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was near death, and Satan was trying to take his life in the garden, that the angels came and helped Jesus in Luke 22:43. The Bible says that the angels defend us. When Daniel walked into the lion's den, that the angel protected him. When Jacob came back from the land of Haran and he was going to meet Esau, his brother, again, he was afraid that the angels guided him. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, and God gives a warning here. Matthew 18, verse 10, it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That the angels defend even the little ones. The Bible says in Revelation that the angels will accompany Christ when he returns to earth, Revelation 19. And then, if you want to, turn to Matthew chapter 13. I want to read this verse. The Bible says that the angels will participate in the execution of judgment. Look at Matthew 13, verse 41. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the angels will participate in the executing of judgment over those that are unsaved. So there are angels. No question. Number two, I want to talk about demons. you got to keep this in the back of your mind. Their purpose is to frustrate. Their purpose is to injure. Now, you and I cannot blame demons for our sin. Some of you that are old enough remember Flip Wilson, whose classic line was, the comedian, he said, the devil made me do it. That is not true. The devil cannot make us do anything. You got to give credit to Satan what he can do, but he cannot make us sin. God says in Corinthians 10 that there's always a way of escape. So none of us can say that Satan made me sin, that we have to give an account for the sin ourselves. We have to take responsibility for our own sin and can't blame that on Satan. But we also have to recognize that Satan and evil forces, demonic forces, are here to injure us, to hinder us, to cause us irritation, to cause trouble, all right? Let me list a few things that Satan does. In Matthew 4:6, it says that Satan can quote Scripture. Satan knows the Bible better than anyone in this room. And probably if you take all of our Bible knowledge and put it together, he still knows more. He knows the Word of God. He can quote it. And he misquotes it, and he questions it, and causes people to doubt. Satan also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says, Satan comes as an angel of light. He is the most busy preacher today in the world. He is in more pulpits today, or his evil forces, than any other denomination. Satan comes as an angel of light. He is a deceiver, a liar, a destroyer. So who has a lot of people in the pulpit today? Well, Satan does. Satan. I don't think there's any question that in Toledo, Ohio today, that some of the pulpits are being filled by men who are unsaved and are followers of Satan.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement, but I believe it's true. I think all over America and even the world, there are many unsaved men that are in pulpits, pastoring churches, and pretending to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We have every reason to try to be very discerning. In 1 John, it says, try the spirits. Are they preaching that Jesus Christ is the Christ? Are they preaching the deity of Jesus Christ? If they're not, you immediately know they are a false prophet.